Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless the word. And Lord, I remember the first time that I was ever in an evangelical church and you spoke to me and I heard your word. It was like a sword stabbing my heart and suddenly I knew it was true. May that miracle of faith be given to somebody today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Today is episode 5 of our preaching series entitled Facing Hard Questions Head On. And I don't think there's any questions too big that we can't come to with the Word of God to search them. Today's question is, aren't all religions the same? Aren't all religions the same? Well, that's the dizzying array of options that come to us, various religions, and the culture of today says, well, they're all the same. They're all equally valid. Now, suppose I was going to tell you that amongst the usual suspects of religious books that most pastors read, suppose I was to confess, now don't tell anybody, that I love the 14 novels by Ian Fleming, The Adventures of James Bond. Don't tell anybody I said that. Pastors aren't supposed to do that. In fact, sometimes some of them I read 3 times. Suppose I were to tell you that occasionally I even make forays when on holidays into a genre which is really chewing gum for the brains, called steampunk. Anyone ever heard of it? And then when I was in university, a threat of death at gunpoint, our teachers forced us to read Shakespeare, the Iliad, the Odyssey, Paradise Lost, Paradise Found, poems by T.S. Eliot and the rest. But also, I loved the authors of Hemingway, especially his style of short sentences, strong verbs, and also George Orwell and Dickens, and C.S. Lewis and his comrade in arms, J.R.R. Tolkien. And I'm also familiar with those stories that I read to my children and now my grandchildren from the Brothers Grimm and that famous physician, Dr. Seuss. I'm not sure he really was a physician. And of course, the creme de la creme of children's books, Canadian author Robert Munsch. Well, I also love to devour commentaries. And once I was sick for about 4 months, and with time on my hand, I decided I would read the Encyclopedia Britannica, which my dad, an electrician without education, ran all the way through. And I got as far as O, but stopped, tearing my hair out, saying, I can't take it anymore. Now suppose that I said to you, all these books are the same. They're all identical, all these genres. You would have a choice. A, this is the most profound statement I've ever heard about literature. Or B, Henry, you're an idiot. Go give your head a shake. And while you're at it, there's a wall there. Give your head a bang. Well, of course it would be B. Hopefully you wouldn't use the same words. Now, compare that to religion. Are all religions the same? Doesn't it likewise suggest that a person making that statement hasn't really looked into all the religions or this subject? Because once you do, you'll realize that all religions are not the same. And to allude to words by Rabbi Zacharias, most religions are not fundamentally the same with superficial differences, but the reverse. Most religions have superficial similarities and fundamental differences. Yet still, one of the most common excuses for rejecting Christ is the one-liner, after all, aren't all religions the same? And I've heard it 1,000 times. And with that little zinger, the person lets himself, herself off the hook from investigating faith. Well, many people are saying that George Lucas, with Star Wars theology, in a magazine interview, he made the comment that represents many people's thinking about world religions. He said, "I remember when I was 10 years old and I asked my mother, if there's only one God, why are there so many religions? And I've been pondering that question ever since." And his conclusion, "I've concluded that I've come to believe that all religions are true." But is it possible? Madonna concurs with his thought. She says, "I do believe that all paths lead to God." And Mahatma Gandhi, who I revere so much as a great leader of freedom, he said, in essence, all religions are one, only their approaches are different. But is it true? Muhammad Ali famously said this: rivers, ponds, lakes, streams, they all have different names, but they all contain water, just as religions do. They contain truth, the same truth. Well, I'm told that 60% of young people, presumably south of the border in the United States where the poll was taken, agree that all roads to God are equal. So is it true? Are all religions the same? Well, before we delve into it more, to tell you the truth, obviously there are things that are the same. There are things we all have in common, namely things that concern ethics and morality. Now, the precise definition of those ethics and morality from religion to religion may differ slightly, but in many ways they all overlap. Take, for instance, Jesus' eloquent words in 2 of the Gospels, Matthew and Luke, where he gives us what we call the golden rule: do to others what you want them to do to you. But the principle there isn't new. It didn't originate with Christianity. About 500 years before Christ, Confucius said, "What you do not wish for yourselves, do not do to others." And then Buddha, who lived in India at the same time as Confucius lived in China, he advised, "Hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful." Now, the difference in Jesus is he put it in the positive instead of the negative. But there's that common truth. The bottom line is that concerning morals and ethics, yes, most religions are on the same page and saying essentially the same thing. And so the Dalai Lama, I think, was right, even though I don't believe in his theology. He said all religions try to benefit people with the same basic message of the need for love and compassion, for justice, honesty, and contentment. And famous Buddhist actor Richard Gere, I think, was on target when he said, "What we all have in common is an appreciation of kindness and compassion. All religions have this, and we all lean towards love. But we shouldn't be surprised that there's this commonality if we believe the Bible is something we should expect. For the Bible says that he has written on our heart his laws." In other words, long before God wrote in stone with his own finger the Ten Commandments, he inscribed the principles of right and wrong in our heart. In the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 15, it says just that. Speaking of the Gentiles who had never heard the Ten Commandments, Paul says, "Having the law written on their hearts, their conscience bearing witness also. And so, in other words, it's something we should expect. Now, you could be a hard-boiled egghead, atheist, and come to the conclusion, as someone did, what Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, Hinduism, and Islam have in common is a sense of community. A sense of community provides group cohesion and identity as well as a way for rituals and traditions to be passed on from generation. But Christianity, any religion for that matter, is far more than a community and a common identity. Religion speaks about ultimate reality and the ultimate reality about God. It's not just about moral behavior and loving our neighbor. Religion claims to be about the supreme being, namely God. So are all religions the same in terms of moral values and ethical values? Pretty much so. But in terms of ultimate nature of reality, and ultimate nature of self, and ultimate truth, and ultimate truth about spirituality, and the ultimate nature of the human condition of life's worth and life's meaning and purpose, and most importantly, the ultimate nature of God. That's what religion is all about. So let's examine what I call the big five. The big five religions that I think I've heard this week that about three quarters of the earth believe in one of these four. And while New Age isn't one of the big five, let's throw in a few words about that because it's creeping in and has saturated North American and Canadian culture, even though we may not realize it. Well, Hinduism is one of the big five. Now, it's difficult to define Hinduism because there's so many variations of it. Within the various streams of Hinduism, when it comes to the question of who or what God is, some Hindus believe that there's one God. Some believe that there's no God. Some believe that there are 330 million gods. But for the vast majority of Hindus, we might say that Hindus acknowledge multiple gods and goddesses. And that's true for the majority of Hinduism. Hinduism involves pantheism. Pan means all. Theism comes from the word theos, God. Pantheism is the concept that God is not only everywhere and in everything, but God is everything. Hindus teach that God is in each of us, and each of us is a part of God, so that the common greeting, namaste, roughly means the God within me greets and recognizes the God within you. The Hindu's goal is to become free of the law of karma, to be free from continuous reincarnations, to break free from the tyrannical cycle of rebirth, and to finally find peace and rest. And they say all religions are the same. Well, let's look at another of the big five, Buddhism. 376 million people adhere to that faith. Buddhism also has various views of God, including pantheism, polytheism, many gods, but the vast majority might be categorized as atheistic. Atheistic. For the most part, Buddhists say there is no God. Most Buddhists do not worship God or the gods. So Orthodox Buddhists have the concept of a supreme being, but it's best understood as irrelevant, and at worst, it's oppressive superstition. Now, most people outside of Buddhism think that they worship Buddha, but it's not true. The Buddha, whose name was Gautama, I don't think I said that right, Gautama, never claimed to be divine, but rather he viewed Buddhism or his own faith as a searching for a spiritual enlightenment, and Buddhists want to follow his example in this search and quest. By the way, before he died, he says, "I am still searching for light," but Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And so, like Hindus, most Buddhists believe in a countless number of rebirths and reincarnations, and the Buddha seeks to end these rebirths. How different is that than our concept of eternal life in heaven with God? And when a Buddhist meditates, it's not the equivalent of prayer, focusing on God. It's more of a self-discipline, looking inward. And through the practice of meditation, a person hopes to reach the state of nirvana, literally the blowing out of the flame of desire. Are all religions the same? Let's look at another one of the big five. Islam. 1.3 billion people are followers of Islam. And if I were to put it in one sentence, Muslims believe in an all-powerful God who is unknowable. A powerful God, but unknowable. Yes, they believe in one mighty God named Allah. But there's an essence of fatalism. Allah causes, according to the belief, everything that happens is Allah's will. He is both the source of good and the source of evil. He's all-powerful, but he's a very strict judge. And he judges everyone and shows mercy only to have shown a life of good works and their religious faith. Well, the Quran reads this. It says, "He is Allah, the one and only Allah, the eternal absolute." But listen to this. "He begets not, nor is he begotten." And there's a passage in a Muslim primer for children that simply says this. "He is the father to none, nor has he any son." And it's for that reason that Christianity is not only distasteful to them, but blasphemous. He is the father of none, nor has he any son. So the concept of Jesus revealing himself through the Son of God is anathema to Muslims. Now, the next thing I have to say, I have to preface by saying it's about the religion, but not about the people. Islamophobia should be named for what it is, prejudice and racist. And we may not approve of another religion, but God calls us to accept and love everyone just as he does. And having said that, I want you to know that the vast majority of Muslims around the world have rejected the teaching that infidels should be put to death. But classic Islam, only held now by a few terrorists that don't represent the Islamic faith, they hold to the old teaching in which infidels should be put to death. Who's an infidel? In their terms, anyone who's not Muslim. But here's the big deal. Did you know that Islam is the classic case of revisionist history? Because 400 years before Christ, the last book of the Bible, Malachi, was completed. 300 years before Christ, the entire Old Testament was translated from Hebrew into Greek. And in the 7th century A.D., Muhammad, after having a dream, he rewrites some of the Old Testament and New Testament stories in the Quran. And sometimes he reverses the nature of those stories, even though he was not privileged to have a single biblical manuscript to say there were some discrepancies. For instance, the classic story of Abraham called to sacrifice his only son Isaac as a test of faith and obedience, in which God, at the moment he's to strike the knife, the angel stays his hand and a lamb is present as a substitute. In Islam, Muhammad switched the character of Isaac with the character of Ishmael. Isaac is the founder of the Jewish race. Ishmael is the founder of the Arab race, the one cast out into the desert. But he switches it, so Abraham sacrifices Ishmael, and Isaac is the one cast into the desert. Not only that, but when it comes to the New Testament and his writing of some of the facts, it doesn't include all of it, in the Quran, Jesus, the Son of God, is demoted to a mere prophet. Interesting. Revisionist history. Well, it's not one of the big five, but let me say something about New Age religion. I'm bringing it in because it's seeping into Canadian culture. To put it in one sentence, New Age followers believe that they are God. Now, while New Age is hard to define because it's so eclectic, there's really nothing new about New Age. It's old age paganism. It acknowledges that there's many gods and goddesses, as in Hinduism, and it focuses on Mother Earth, which is the source of all spirituality. Mother Earth has intelligence, emotions, and deity. But superseding all of this is self. Self, a deity. New Age promotes the development of a person's own personal divinity. How strange is that? When referring to deity, a follower of New Age is not so much talking about a transcendent personal God who created the universe. He's speaking about a higher consciousness within his or herself. A person in the New Age religion would say that they are deity. Pantheism has also evolved in that they would say that God is not only in the universe, but God is the universe. God is not, he's omniscient, as we would believe, but he's not only in the tree or in the rock. God is the tree. God is the rock. Have you ever noticed how many people in society, even though they may not be New Age, but it's just crept in, where in a conversation they have replaced the word God with the word universe? Have you ever noticed that? That's classic New Age. Well, I guess the universe was smiling on me that day, or the universe had other plans. I heard on CNN, and this may be offensive to some of you, you can throw bricks at me after the service. I heard this week on CNN oh, last week really, that Oprah Winfrey, if she throws her hat into the ring for the next presidency, she could very well win because of her mass popularity. And while she has helped many, many people and given a great effort to advance the cause of women, sometimes she crosses the line into the territory of New Age thinking. And so New Age thinking has permeated our culture in all directions, and we're not even aware of it. The Bible warns us, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. I'm not necessarily speaking of Oprah there. I'm thinking of the New Age philosophy. Here's the question. When you hear somebody teaching like that, is it consistent with the kind of teaching that Jesus would give? Or is it not? Is it somewhere else? Have you noticed that libraries and bookstores are filled with self-help sections? Most of those books are really good, with sage wisdom, and many have saved marriages and so forth. But some of those self-help books have a pre-understanding of New Age philosophy. The same is possible in some, not all, personal development seminars. They're so popular. And many have helped. And many have no foundation at all in New Age. They're just practical advice to help you be a better person, to be more successful in this or that. But many have this unstated premise: develop your higher consciousness, the power within you. So are all religions the same? Well, let's mention the last one of the big five. Can you guess? Christianity, the largest religion in the world with 2.1 billion adherents. We don't know how many are true believers or not, but we could say that about the other religions too. Just how does Christianity compare? Well, we might describe Christianity compared to the others as Christians affirm a loving God revealed in Jesus. If Hinduism acknowledges multiple gods, if Buddhism says there is no God, if Muslims believe in a powerful God unknowable, if New Age followers believe that they are God, then Christianity affirms a loving God revealed in Jesus the Christ. Notice that he's not any kind of God, he's a loving God. John chapter 4, verse 8 says, God is love. He's not only loving, but he is love. He's the quintessence of it, the definition of it. What God is love. What love is, God is. And our faith is not dependent solely on creed, but on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He didn't come so much to form a new religion, but to let the world know that we can have a relationship with God through him. Something else that Christianity has that others don't is the offer of true forgiveness. He doesn't just leave us to carry the burden on our shoulders and then hope that we will be a better person the next day. His forgiveness is real. Something else, he's the only living Savior. All the other founders died and were buried. Jesus died and was buried. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. And he's alive still. 500 people saw him within the 40 days, according to 1 Corinthians chapter, now my mind is gone, 15, verses 1 to 6. 500 people saw him after he was risen from the dead at one time, and there were other disciples who saw him too. The other thing he offers is an eternal life, not just forever and ever, but in the presence of God. How different is that from extinction of self? So are all religions the same? No! They can't be. The law of non-contradiction says if two statements about one particular issue contradict each other, then one of them is true. Two, they're both false. And next, they cannot all be true at the same time. Let me say it in a different way. The fundamental issue about religion all being the same comes down to this. There can be one right one, or they can all be wrong, but they cannot all be right. Truth matters. Well, it doesn't matter as long as you're sincere. That's what counts. I could take a pill and sincerely believe it's aspirin, but it's really arsenic. And no matter how sincere I am, in a little while I'll be sincerely dead. Sincerely is not enough. Let me conclude with a simple thought. You've heard me tell this illustration, but it means something because the first time, to me, it means something because the first time I heard the gospel and hated it when my pastor and friend Earl McGinnis shared this story, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. It's the story about in India a number of years ago, there was a conference trying to bring all the religions of the world together, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, and others. And one person got up and said the statement that all the religions in the world are like a great cathedral with all different stained glass windows. Buddhism is like one stained glass window. It lets in a little bit of light. Hinduism is another stained glass window that lets in some light from a different direction. Christianity lets in a little bit more light. And then a Christian got up and said, "That's a very nice story, but there's one thing wrong. Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world whom the scripture says sheds light into every person's soul and it cannot be quenched." Well, the decision to believe is more than an intellectual one. The Bible calls for a commitment. Elijah said, "How long will you halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him." Elijah. And then Moses stood before the entrance of the camp and said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Come to me." He calls for a decision. And Joshua stood before the people saying, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Will you do likewise? Thanks be to God. Amen.